into another edition of Talking Caucho here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Nick Frazier alongside Claudio Villalobos with Nashville Total Sports. Claudio, Nashville have lost another game, another close one, and this one was on the road to Charlotte, and Wilfred Zaha ended up capitalizing on a penalty kick late in the game. But another unfortunate loss for Nashville.
Hello to you, Nick, and all the of our listeners. You used the correct word, I think. Unfortunate, because so many times we have talked about this team, especially in the previous season, playing such a low key soccer that we were pretty much overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, this team is playing well, playing good soccer, sound soccer, and still can't find a way to make it into victories. You know, the last two games, Cincinnati and Charlotte, to me, they look alike in many ways. But the one factor that I dislike about the whole thing is that both of them ended up being defeats.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that watching that Charlotte game, to me, and even BJ said it at the end of the game, it was a tale of two halves. You know, first half, it seemed like Nashville was on the front foot of Charlotte. They seemed to be creating a lot of really good chances. I believe it was Sam Surridge up top that had, I think, five shots in total of the game. Just a lot of good things to take away the first half. And then second half happened, and it was like Charlotte had Nashville's number. And it was just a little different to the point where it was like Nashville was on the back foot of everything, and Charlotte was ready to attack immediately out of the break.
You know, this morning when we went to the field there to kind of watch a little bit of the practice and then press conference, so Ben Wright and I had a chance to talk a little bit with Gaston Brugman, and we agree, and actually, well, pretty much everybody agree about with Gaston when he said that Nashville played perhaps the best first half of all the games this season, you know. And that's what strikes a very, I'm not sure what word to use in this case. Nick, maybe you can help me. But how come you played your best soccer in one half, but you still come away with only one goal advantage when you could have done it after that? And then again, that old saying in football, in soccer, that says that if you don't make him, you probably see they making it to you. I mean, I'm talking about goals in this case.
Right.
You're going to score your goals, somebody else, you're going to see them scoring against you. So that's what happened. And I believe, even though we agree with Gaston about the first half of the game in Charlotte, the end result was the same.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. The end result, it was definitely 2-1. And to the point to that, Claudio, talking about Nashville and Gaston Brugman's comment there about playing the best first half of soccer, that is, for Nashville. You know, all that's great to be playing good soccer and all. And like you're saying, if you don't get the results, then that good soccer means nothing. And I hate to say it's easier said than done, but, you know, talking about the game and talking about just wins and losses and looking at paper and saying that Nashville should have won this game, Nashville should have won the game beforehand, this would be talking about a whole different Nashville SC side. But talking about just playing really good in the first half, that's my big concern. Because if Nashville plays a really good first half and then has a dud in the second half, it makes you wonder if I don't want to be critical saying this, but I'm going to say it anyways, the squad selection. I'm curious to know if the squad selection is something that is now needing to come into question. And I'm not saying for Sam Surridge or maybe Hani Mukhtar, I don't know. But primarily, don't worry about Sam Surridge up top because he's getting the opportunities that they're passing him the ball and he's taking chances on net. That's all great. I think it's now coming down to the fact of, yes, we all know Eddie Tagseth is an absolute termite on the field, but all that catches up with you. Your legs eventually get tired. And I stressed it beforehand, before the season began. I talked to you, I said, listen, Eddie Tagseth's a great player, but you're going to have to manage him well. You're going to have to keep a close eye on him. When they are done with their game on Saturday or Sunday or whenever it is, I mean, you're able to go to the facility on Thursdays for the press conferences. Do you see Eddie Tagseth out there at the end of practice or near the end of practice taking any sort of reps of some regard?
No.
Exactly. No, because that tells me that they are managing his, I guess, time on the field when they're not playing very, like, extremely valuable. It's extremely valuable that he gets the rest needed, which is understandable. But to that point, it's still hard to build chemistry with the players on the roster. And when I mean that, I'm not talking about current players and like what they do off the field and so forth. No, I'm talking about when there is an injury, and especially we're going to get to it here in a little bit, but Walker Zimmerman, when there's an injury like Walker Zimmerman, and he is a vital piece to your defensive core, and then you have a guy like Eddie Tagseth who's not taking as many, and this is my assumption because I'm not there, but when you take a guy like Eddie Tagseth and you're managing his health on a day-to-day basis, hour-by-hour basis, and he's not getting the proper, I guess, practice, he's getting more of the mental reps, that, to me, I think he needs to be on the field a little bit. And sure, maybe they're doing a walkthrough on Tuesday while we're not there, or Wednesday when we're not there. But I think it's huge, because this is another topic we'll get into in a little bit, is the center back combination between Josh Bauer and Jack Mayer. We've seen that last year. It didn't turn out well, and maybe that might be the next route where Nashville has to go towards if Walker, and it seems like Walker will be out this weekend, but if he's out for more than just this game coming up this weekend, what if it's next week or the week after? I mean, this is a situation where Nashville has finally found their true challenge, and it's definitely going down to BJ Callahan trying to figure out the right 11 to play on the field.
Well, you know, to your point, in terms of the physical shape of some of the players after playing so many minutes, and you mentioned very well the case of Eddie Tagseth. Today, our good friend Valère Chavilla asked a question. He was kind of one of the things that was in his mind. He asked BJ about the physicality of the games and the physical power and shape of the team is catching up at the end of some games, especially in the second half, which seems what it looks like sometimes. And then the answer from BJ was that, I mean, by the numbers they manage in terms of the numbers, I'm talking about all those measurements that they do with the physical, the effort that the players
right
do in practice and even the games, the numbers are great. And that's why he's not, he kind of, in other words, he disagreed with the, not that he was, that Valère was actually confirming anything. He was asking, but he said he's not, he doesn't seem like that's the case. He seems like, he thinks like the case is that the team sometimes is losing concentration mostly. That's what I understood. And about keeping the effort the same in every, in term, and I guess he didn't mean the effort in terms of what they do, but concentration mostly, and that's when things go the other way, you know. And so he's not worried. He said the numbers are right, and there is no reason to believe that's what was happening with Nashville. Even though, and I agree with you here, and perhaps that was Valère's point, is that sometimes it looks like it is.
Yeah, and Claudia, I don't know if you recall, but in the preseason, I think it was a closed doors game against Austin. It was the last preseason game. And we had a press conference via Zoom, and my question was, is there going to be a concern in this midfield if one of your key guys goes down? And, of course, that I'm not saying that question was scoffed away, but he answered it properly, saying, no, we're going to take this, you know, step by step and so forth. I have to go back and get that audio. But do you recall me saying that question to BJ, like, if there's a key guy that goes down, what's going to happen? That was my biggest concern, and it still is my biggest concern, and now it's become Nashville's biggest test coming up this weekend against Real Salt Lake. And yes, you mentioned on the last episode of the podcast, Gaston Brugman has been a key piece, and you wanted to see more out of him. He has shown really good flashes of being a valuable piece in that midfield. Now, I will say he's not like a Patrick Yazbek. He's not like an Eddie Tagseth. Yazbek is that box-to-box midfielder that can just command the field and be the true point guard. Eddie Tagseth can be that pacey, just quick, agile midfielder that covers a lot of ground and can be a disruptor towards other teams when they're on the counterattack and or in possession of some regard. But for Gaston Brugman in the midfield, he's more of the best word I can describe him as, because it's talking calcio, he's a mezzala. He's a mezzala midfielder, a artistic playmaker. Because that's Gaston Brugman's finesse. You know, I'll do a little history lesson here, and I've mentioned this to you and a few other media members. Gaston Brugman, he grew up in the Serie A, Serie B culture of Italian soccer. So he understands the artistic style of the game, the beauty aspect of soccer. And he played in Pescara and Serie B and a little bit in Serie A. We were talking about Parma and Inter, the game in Serie A this past weekend. He played it with Parma for a small bit of time with a few players now that are in Premier League, but Dusan Kulusevski, one of those guys. He's a good forward midfielder. And I feel like Gaston Brugman has seen the evolution of the game, and especially at that position. So back to my original point is the concern about this midfield. And my concern is starting to grow a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I'm curious, what would be your answer? Because I've seen on Nashville SC's media, I guess, team that has posted stuff on their Instagram, their Twitter, and so forth, when the FIFA president came in town for the FIFA Club World Cup and so forth, there was a picture taken with the whole team. And I guess it was before or after or during Nashville SC's practice. I saw one key player, and we've talked about him, Brian Acosta.
It was after. Brian Acosta was there practicing already with the team today, and he was running on a I was just sitting up there a little bit on my camera stuff when he was running around and supervised.
Yeah.
He seems to be already back there. Now, going back to your point, and very interesting, but as a matter of fact, when you mentioned Gaston Brugman in Jaspic, I don't know if he comes back to... Can we go back to the football, the soccer of taste, good taste? Players like Brugman, like you already mentioned very well, are those players that are missing right now in most teams. You know, the player, the brainy player in the middle of the field who can actually take it easy, take care of the ball, look around everywhere, pass the ball most of the time accurately. The guy that maybe all of a sudden you see him crossing the ball 30 or 40 yards to find somebody open. No, that kind of brain, if I had to choose, nothing against Jaspic, which I like him a lot, different style for sure, you already described it. But if you actually force me and my team to choose among those two, I'll stick with Brugman every single time, or any player that's got his style. I like those brains, those brainy players in the middle of my field, and probably maybe the work rate, and not saying that he's as bad, the work rate, I leave it to somebody else or to some other players, and then I know I have a guy in the middle who can actually make a difference in just one play. Not because he needs to be involved in every play near the box either, or even inside, but a guy who can actually, with a pass, puts my team against the other keeper's goal and give us an opportunity.
Yeah, puts them in a winning position, absolutely. Yeah. And I think you make a good point about Brugman because, he also compliments Eddie Taxeth well, and Taxeth honestly, you pair anybody with Eddie Taxeth in the midfield, they complement each other well. And that's crazy to say, but that's Nashville's glue guy. And that's why I put so much emphasis on his, I guess, practice time and availability, because if he goes down, this team is back to square one. I know that sounds terrible to say. They brought in a lot of young guys. They brought in a lot of different faces. And this new style BJ has implemented with this 4-2-2-2. It's all great. But I don't want to – I'm going to say it because – if one guy goes down, like, it's bad. Like, to the point where, I don't want to say bad as in, like, the season's over with, but I'll get into Walker a little bit here. I'll preface a little bit about Walker. Walker Zimmerman goes down with a concussion or some sort of head injury, and he's now in concussion protocol. Now you have to look at that as, well, at the beginning of the season, BJ asked one thing out of Walker, and that's to, what, defend. Now that he's not there, you have to fill that gap. And we saw it in the Charlotte game a little bit. There was some miscommunication between Josh Bauer and Jack Mayer in the mid, because you saw that little floating ball, and don't get me wrong, it was a beautiful ball. Don't get me wrong, Claudio. It was a beautiful ball that was floated in between the both of them. But at the same time, I think it was Jack that kept that attacker on side, and that's just the miscommunication. Sure, the line could have been up a little bit whatsoever, but you have to think, when you're playing with a left back and a right back, I'll give Dan Levitz a little bit of slack because he's not as attacking-minded as Andy Nahar is. But when you have a guy like Andy Nahar on the right side of the field and he is pressing a lot and being implemented in the attack, there's the concern, the discombobulation of, well, BJ has turned Josh Bauer into a serviceable right back. But yet he flexed as a center back last year under Gary and has, you know, flexed a little bit as a center back under BJ. But that's the thing, is that he has the extra experience and the veteran leadership as a center back over a Chris Applewhite. Because Applewhite, yes, he's a youth player. He's young. He's got the legs. He could probably go a full 90 if need be. But I think there's a little bit of a touchy feel type vibe chemistry between him and Mayer, if that makes sense.
It does. And you know, and when you look at and you talk about Zimmerman, it's a key play. It's a key play I'm with you and many people that probably think that he would have been there. Maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe we don't know for sure, but most probably he would have scream at a Mayer and say step up or something, and the guy is offside. He couldn't have done anything because that's what Walker does. Mm-hmm. But I would argue against your best opinion, Nick, that perhaps we're seeing at this age in Walker Zimmerman under BJ in these few games one of the best Walker Zimmerman versions in Nashville.
Hands down, I agree to that 100%.
So when we talk about a guy, and it doesn't matter at this point how better he might be or not, when you're looking at a guy and you see a very good, probably the best, again, version of him in the field, there is no question that you're going to miss them, not even if it's only one game. And it's going to be very easy, even though BJ and them keep defending the next guy up mentality. Well, I mean, how many guys can actually be the next one covering a player like Walker Zimmerman and his leadership and his shape this season?
Yeah, I agree. And everybody hopes that it's Jack Mayer. You know what I mean? Everybody hopes it's him coming up to be the next leader of that defense core.
But then, am I wrong? Am I wrong to say that we're seeing the worst versions of Jack Mayer when Walker is not there?
No. No, I think you're spot on with that. I think we do see flashes of a good and mature center back in Jack Mayer. It's just unfortunate because maybe this is a little bit of a Jack Mayer needs to, I don't want to sound rude saying this, but maybe he needs to grow up a little bit at the position as a leader. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's the thing that needs to really click for him. It's the, I'm the veteran now. I'm a older player in this league. Well, I guess it would say I'm in the prime of my career right now with Nashville. I need to step up to the plate and really show what I got. And I think he does. Don't get me wrong. I think he does. It's more the fact of the matter, the person or center back that's paired with him, I just feel like there's a disconnect there, and it's just tough to pair somebody with them. So, like, if you had to tell me, hey, Nick, you have a number one million-dollar question, you got to answer it by the end of the day today. Who are you pairing with Jack Mayer at center back? Is it Josh Bauer? Is it Chris Applewhite? Or do you throw a wild card in there and put Wyatt Meyer at center back? Because that guy's pretty versatile. We saw in the first game against New England Revolution at the start of the year, he played as a midfielder, and he played as a deep midfielder to some regard. And, you know, he went up the field a tad bit, but he was putting in those wonderful lofty balls left and right of the flanks to get to the attacking midfielders and forwards. So, I don't know. That's a interesting – I just kind of hinted at my own question, but –
Well, but maybe, and then we have to come back to before I can attempt to answer your question, the million-dollar question, is, well, you didn't mention in any among any of those players Jason and Palacios. And mm-hmm. The only reason I'm bringing him up is because that's the guy that actually BJ decided he needed to be there instead of Walker Zimmerman. And, you know, By knowing a little bit of what Palacios can bring to the table, I don't disagree with him at all. Not that I need to agree or not with what BJ does. No, but right. We're just talking here. But the problem for me is does he have enough minutes already on his legs to actually come in there and play like he needs to and the way that he needs to produce for this team instead of Walker? I don't think so.
I agree.
Don't think so. So that's my problem. But I do believe though. If he gets to play and this is going to be a big test for him if he comes and play instead of a Zimmerman the full game. Once Jason Palacios puts some minutes under his legs, he will be a very key player there in terms of being maybe, I don't know, the starter, no, because Walker would always be, but the guy that can actually come in there and we can feel safe about what he can do in terms of leadership, in terms of what, you know, of the style of play. Now, having said that, there is always that little barrier, which I don't like to talk about because it just touches nerves in me back home, back inside me as a home. But how much the language barrier comes into play when it comes to leadership in a team like this? You know,
I wouldn't say language barriers would be too much of an issue. I mean, it can be some form of a factor to look into, but this is going to sound very plain Jane to say, but soccer's soccer, calcio's calcio, football is football. You know what I mean, Claudio? Like,
I do.
You understand the game well enough, if you're playing in the pro level, which is what these guys are, there shouldn't be too much of a disconnect. And if there is a disconnect, as in chemistry purposes like that, where it does come down to language, then if I'm somebody, I'm the whole week, I'm looking up what are some slang words I can say to Palacios as a center back that'll understand, hey, I need you to slide this way. I need you to slide that way. I need you to do something. Hey, I need you to come tie my shoes while we got some break in between plays. Like that's something I'd be looking up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I agree. The only problem is, again, we go back to, I'm sure, and I know for sure, but knowing where Jason Palacios comes from, that he's more than ready, more capable.
Right.
If it wasn't only because of the guy he's substituting, you know, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
On the other, now, when it comes to, so to me, Jason becomes another factor, another key player that he could think about using. Which one of them he was going to be there? Using this weekend, I don't know. Would you, if you have to actually choose right now, give me your answer.
All right. So I'll just go with my back four. Okay, this is what the back four would be. Starting with left back, it's Dan Lovitz, Jack Mayer, Josh Bauer, and Andy Nahar. And I know I was ragging real bad on the pairing of Josh Bauer and Jack Mayer, but at the same time, I mean, that's the Nashville DNA right now. They have to use those guys. I think those two have the most chemistry between each other. And then a small 1B to that would be Chris Applewhite. And I'm not trying to put Jason Palacios at the back end of all this conversation, but you made it a huge point in the beginning of your conversation here, Claudio, is that the minutes. Like that was one of the primary reasons why I simply forgot about him. I forgot that he had a small stint in the Charlotte game when he got subbed on. It just made me think, like, wait a minute. Yeah, when you mentioned his name, I was like, yep, that's it. He needs a little bit more minutes. Because, I understand BJ and the rest of his staff are around these guys 24/7. They know more than us, primarily for the most part, when it comes to stuff like this. But it's just minutes. That's what it comes down to for me.
I agree. I mean, I would say that if you were to choose, if they have the same minutes in terms of what perhaps what Bauer and Jason and I'm losing somebody here.
Mayer.
Mayer's a player every time. I'm talking about substitutions.
Oh, Applewhite.
Applewhite. If they have the same minutes, all of them, I'll take Palacios anytime. To be honest with you, because of his experience, what he's playing, what he's done, and what he's capable of in terms of doing something that this team is doing, that actually that's to me that's what's making Walker Zimmerman look a lot better. We know because since day one when we heard BJ talking about his principles of playing left out like that, we knew that the team was going to be stepping up in every game. To areas in the field that maybe Walker Zimmerman and even Jack were not used to play, at least not in Nashville anyways. And for that reason is that the one I see prepared to do that without much, much needed to be taught is Palacios. But again, I agree with you. His minutes will be are against that possibility of him being started.
Yeah, and obviously we saw in the preseason how BJ kind of runs his practices for the most part. That, you know, and that could just be a part of the preseason practices, not during the year practices, because there are less time on the field when it comes to being in season and so forth. But, you know, in the preseason, we saw them do a team A and a team B. And, and you know, I think that's kind of where we're at right now when it comes to practicing, is if Palacios is during the week in practices, he's probably on team B, or he's subbing in on team B to get the minutes in and kind of be familiar with everything. So when it comes to Palacios, I understand the confidence you have in him. I understand that you have a little bit more knowledge on him, but for me, I'm just going to have to see more on the field, you know, resume, just straight up. I'm just going to have to see it more with Nashville, because it's easy to look at a guy from 3-4 years ago. Like, I was talking very highly on Gaston Brugman and his knowledge of the game, which is true, but, you know, Father Time can only give you so long, and I feel like for Brugman, he might be sharp up top, but his, you know, bottom half is not as quick and agile as it was when he was young. And I'm not saying that about Palacios. I'm just saying in general.
No. But I would agree. I would agree that that most people would be on your side just because they haven't seen enough of him. Right?
Yeah.
And that's true. I mean, if you add that to the fact that he hasn't had as many minutes as he should have or as he needed, then that becomes a factor for sure. I mean, I'm not going to go against something that which is so clear. I mean, now, is he going to get him? Like you said, you've been talking about it all day. What is it going to happen when we need a player like that? What's going to happen if we all of a sudden get, I don't know, I don't want to say names, but I'm going to say them anyways. Brugman, Eddie, injured all of a sudden, both of them can't play in one game. What's going to happen? Is the next man actually ready? I mean, mentally maybe ready to go, but is he going to be able to contribute if he's not playing? I mean, this always been a history in this team, and we know it very well, Nick, that some of the factors that made last season such a sad season for this team is that the next man up wasn't actually ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you ever heard the phrase, your best ability is your availability?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, very if you haven't heard it, you've heard it now from me, okay?
Yeah.
I heard that way back when I was in high school playing football. Your best ability is your availability. And so,
thanks for bringing it to the table. It applies very well.
Indeed it does. And you make a great point, and you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I was texting you last night before I do the podcast. And I said, Claudio, there's one thing that BJ more than likely will probably say in his press conference on Thursday, and it was next man up mentality. I guaranteed it, and you can go back and look at the text messages. I was like, Claudio, I'm telling you, he's going to mention the next man up mentality, because that's just the only way you can kind of, I guess, signify what you're talking about with this team when it comes to injuries to a certain degree. Because like Walker, he is the absolute anchor of this defense core. And when you look at a guy like that, how do you replace him? Well, we have a lot of young guys. We went in-depth this preseason, and we broke everything down to the basics, and we go through phases. And once you go through phases, you can then build off of that. And that's what they're doing now, is they're getting the young guys prepped and ready to go and getting them out there to where they can be building up on as the next man up mentality.
If it's not the wins column, which is not, because Nashville has won 3 and lost 3 this season already, but if we stay only with the play, the way the team performs in the field this season, we come back to Walker Zimmerman mainly because of one reason. Remember how many times he missed under Gary?
Oh yeah, with the Achilles, hamstring, all that. Yeah.
Well, that was a luxury that Gary missed many times, and he showed during his tenure with the team that something when Walker was healthy, the team looked different. Well, BJ has had the luxury of having him every single game for 90 minutes each, and it shows, and it really shows in this team. I gotta say it, I gotta admit it. You know, when you look at those. It, you know, little factors of why the team is looking better. There are all ones. We can talk about all of them.
Yeah.
But one of them, the very fine one on the back is Walker being healthy, playing a lot of minutes, playing 90 minutes, his leadership all game long is something that this team needs all the time. Not just one, you know, and besides, before it's too long, somebody needs to actually get it, maybe mayor, I don't know, like you said, maybe yeah. mayor, somebody actually next to step in his shoes and say, hey, when Walker's not here, I am the guy. I am the guy. I'm taking his leadership position. I'm taking his what he does, what he says, what he how he screams, how he positions himself in the field, and do it as well. Maybe not as good as he does, but close.
Two things on that, Claudio. Follow me on this, okay? You mentioned there's not a significant guy like right after Walker. Who is that next man up that's going to command this team? Like, you make a great point there. Is it Hani? Is it Joe Willis? Is it Jack Mayer? Is it Sam Surridge? Like, you have to start wondering, or is it a new guy like Eddie Tagseth? Could it be one of those guys, or is it a collective thing? Like, if it's a collective thing where all 11 guys are the leaders, then you have, I don't want to say an alpha problem or a leadership problem. I don't think that's it. That just goes to show you that you have a team. I understand that. But you got to have a true leader. And if Walker's not there, who is it? You make a great point about that, okay? And personally for me, I think Nashville has a lot of silent leaders, if that makes sense. They have a lot of quiet leaders that let their play do the talking, which is, I'm fine with. I'm a guy that loves to see when the play does the talking over the actual voice talk. I love all that.
But then when was the last time, Nick, that we can remember a team that was actually everybody was captain at the same time, the 11th, the collective? I don't think I can remember one.
No,
I can't. I mean, no, there's always been one guy and another one right behind him who are the two leaders in the field board. Because, I mean, look, who was that guy before? We had one. I don't know. Maybe it's arguably, and I will respect your opinion, anybody else's.
Sure.
But right after Walker, it was Aníbal Godoy.
Yeah.
It was Aníbal Godoy. I mean, now, who's taking his place? In terms of that leadership.
In my honest opinion, my gut, and on the radio show that I do with 102.5 The Game on the weekends, Force Company, I always say my gut gives me the best intuition. And I got to say, it's Eddie Tagseth, man. I think the way this guy's played, the good form that this team has been in to start the season, along with minus the last three games, yeah, I mean, even including those, if you want, he's always been consistent. I mean, this is a funny pun to say, but he's been a steady Eddie. He has been steady Eddie. You can't complain with him. You ask him to do something, he does it. I think that's your on-the-field leader. And again, back to the original point, if he goes down, this team is in some serious trouble. And I look at each phase because we've talked about the defense a lot, okay? We've talked about the anchoring of Walker Zimmerman if he's not available for not after this week, but the following weeks. I want to add one more comment about the defense, and I've already prefaced it a little bit. I want to get a little bit more into it. BJ has evolved Josh Bauer from a center back to being a serviceable right back. Hell, the guy has 2 goals on the season as a right back. It's very impressive. But with the style they play, and this is a big concern for me because we've already talked about it, but last thing I'll say on it, I think we're going to see a big test out of Andy Nahar at right back. And the reason why I say that is he's been so involved with the attacking style this team is used to. It makes me wonder if he's going to, you know, step off the gas a little bit and stay back and help defend. Or is it going to be the Nashville we've continued to see and they're not going to change their philosophies because of some small injuries here and there? And if they don't back down from that, I respect it because that's a team that's stuck on a plan that they are driven. They are tunnel vision driven to the objective they want to accomplish. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with either or. But that's something I'm going to keep my eye on when it comes to the approach for this upcoming weekend. If Nashville is going to be, I guess, hesitant when it comes to taking their chances on the attack, because if they find a chance where they can go all in on it, and they somehow get one pass that's burned. They get burned on one pass. Burned is meaning the ball gets intercepted or that somebody loses the possession of the ball and Real Salt Lake goes quick in transition. You're in some big, big trouble.
I agree. And, you know, when you look at the now talking about, which I believe this is going to be the guy that replaces Zimmerman this week, and it's Jeff Bauer in the middle of defense. Can Jeff, which actually has stepped up his game beautifully, Josh Bauer, he stepped up his game beautifully. But can he step up the field like Walker's been doing because of BJ's tactics? Yes, he can. Can he go back with the same quickness and speed that Zimmerman does? No, he can't. I mean, that's just me being honest. What I'm seeing through this for these players for so long, would that mean that what you're saying is truth, and Andy Nahar will have to, you know, kind of hold his reins a little bit in the back? I believe that could happen as well, because otherwise, I mean, he's quicker. Mm-hmm. He's quicker going back, and that will make Nashville lose one of his weapons. Especially in the right hand side. And I don't know about I mean, we're seeing a lot of things that are happening right now that could actually get us be a stand in this weekend, depending on what Bauer does. Even Lovitz, who's been really good, stepping up and actually doing those crosses. Well, he's about three assists already in the field in the league, mm-hmm. Or four. Well, that might be something I'd be checking into as well, because it all depends on how things start from the beginning. Against a team that is dangerous up front. You know, that guy, Diego Luna, and what he does in the middle of the field, if we don't check up on him, he might take advantage of these situations really easily with the other players that this team has, which are really good. You know, it's a constellation of international players that are very, very well, very play very well together, like Marshuk, Dominic Marshuk, the Polish, I mean, Diego, the Portuguese, Goncalves. I mean, there are some guys that are actually very smart to play, and we haven't talked much about him, but I'm sure BJ has, and that all has to do with what needs to be happened this week. Now, would you make a change? Would that mean that you need to make a couple of changes there in the middle of the field also to kind of prevent any of that happening?
Maybe. That was my next point I was going to get to, is if Andy Nahar is, you know, at the point where he has to hold off on some of his attacks that he has with Nashville's offensive possession, it leads me to the midfield. And I think this idea that I'm conjuring in my head here about the way Nashville is projected to play, it's going to narrow the field for them, where they're going to have to play more centrally. They're going to have to put more passes through the middle of the field. And I don't know what the midfield pairing will be. I mean, I would assume it'd be Yazbek and Tagseth in the midfield. And I think it would take a lot of composure from Patrick Yazbek in the midfield this weekend. I think he's going to have a big game for Nashville to come out victorious in this weekend's game against Real Salt Lake. Eddie Tagseth, like I said before, steady Eddie. He's going to continue doing what he always does and produces. And that's produces off the ball, covers a lot of the field when it doesn't really need to be covered, but he does it anyways. The guy that always goes above and beyond. I mean, as long as that takes place, that's fine. And I think you're going to see, well, I say this now, but this could probably change in the future, but obviously it probably will. I could easily see, oh my goodness, I could see Gaston Brugman coming in around, I don't know, the 65th minute, 70th minute, around that time. Maybe for Yazbek. I think if this game tends to steer in the direction of Real Salt Lake, I think you're going to have sub in a guy like Gaston Brugman in the midfield. But I don't know. I don't know if you heard anything from the press conference earlier today, but it just makes me wonder, is Brian Acosta going to be available this weekend, or is he going to be available next weekend? Like, when I asked, I think I asked BJ that question, I don't know, 3 weeks ago going on? 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And he said he was, you know, ways away. I think that's the right term he used, was ways away. And I asked the same question to him preseason about Gaston Brugman, and he said the same phrase, ways away. So it makes me wonder, is ways away? It's almost like I'm trying to speak BJ Callahanese. You know what I mean? Like his own language, Callahanese. You got to figure out what ways away means. And to me, ways away, it sounds like 3 weeks. It sounds like 3 to 4 weeks.
Well, I would say that that's probably true. 3 or 4 weeks, which includes this one, for to see him coming back at the level that the other guys are playing. That's the thing. It's not only quality, because Brian Acosta has it. It's just the fact that how ready he will be to come and start coming, like a few good minutes. Because this is the other thing. This team doesn't need to have, which we never had, an advantage of 3 or 4 goals to actually let anybody come in and play.
Right.
It was always been short or none. So that's why you have to think twice about bringing a guy who is not in game shape, just to get a few minutes in here and there. No. So Brian Acosta, he's not going to be ready for this week, and he probably won't be ready for the next two. We'll see. But you know, when you look at what he might do in the middle, I don't know. I mean, I might go with you in terms of Jasvik again and Eddie Taxi there in the middle. Only because Mastroianni, the coach for Real Salt Lake, he likes to play a 4-2-3-1. That's his formation. Yeah, that's his main formation. And the problem for Nashville is that he's got these three guys. Well, Diego Luna, who's been probably having his best start of any season of his own this year. He's the central midfielder. He's like BJ says, he's a very good guy. He likes the ball. He's always asking for the ball. He causes all kinds of trouble. But then he's not alone. He's got on the left these Portuguese guys I was talking about, Diogo Gonçalves. He's very good. He likes to control ball as well. So and then on the other side, if that wasn't enough, you get Dominik Maszek, who is a guy from Poland. So that, look at what you have. You have a guy on the left who's a Portuguese. He got a Polish guy on the other side. He's got a front forward who is a very good, shape, well-rounded guy from Australia. So they're really good players. If you're not careful enough and you lose the middle of the field to a team that likes to keep ball on their feet, then we could be in for a lot of trouble. So it's going to be a very good test for the system, for BJ, and for the team in a moment that we've been talking and kind of praising a lot of the way Nashville has been doing things this season. But don't get me wrong, Nick, this is going to be a really good test here in Jody's Park.
Yeah, it will be. And I got to get a few things off my chest, because before I forget them, and my memory, you know, my memory, it tends to go and come back every once in a while.
It's pretty good with food, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I try to be okay with food. All right. Easy about that one. Okay. Back to my comments I was going to make just on the top of my head. You know, the way I feel like Nashville wanted to, I guess, play out the beginning of their season, they had such a great start and they wanted to keep continuing to do that. You know, now it's starting to kind of, the puzzle pieces are starting to click. When it comes to BJ Callahan's system and using guys like Patrick Yazbek and Eddie Tagseth in the midfield, those guys you can plug them in any day of the week and you won't have any issues, any problems in the midfield. You won't have any turned over balls in the midfield. They will win balls, so forth. I think those are your best two center mids on this team, obviously, so, because they're starting week in and week out, okay? Get that off the chest, okay? Follow me on the next part of this. So when you have guys like this that can produce, then you look at your bench, as in Gaston Brugman and Brian Acosta. Obviously, both those guys were injured at different times at the beginning of this season, but you have Gaston Brugman, who's come back and has filled his role and is doing what, you know, Nashville needs him to do, be that artistic creator. As for Nashville, when it comes to getting off to a hot start, I don't know if that's kind of clicked in your brain at all, Claudio, at these press conferences before games and after games, but when BJ has mentioned getting off to a fast start, he needs his system. I'm not saying his words. I'm just, you know, prefacing this. His system needs to get off to a fast start, because if they don't end up scoring goals, I'd say at least one goal in the first half or at least one goal before the 65th minute, then that's when the concern starts to settle in. Because if they end up scoring a goal by, you know, the 65th minute and they're up 1-0, or if they're up 2-1, then you sub in a guy like Brian Acosta to be your enforcer off the bench, because that's a guy that can gobble up minutes and that can also, you don't have to be concerned when he's in the midfield. He can be a defensive prowess, if that makes sense. If you were to pair him and Eddie Tagseth, and or vice versa, if you were to pair him with Yazbek in the midfield, like, that's kind of how you got to look at it. because if you pair Acosta and Brugman, sure, it'll work, but I feel like you're going to have more errors in the midfield because both those guys, yes, they're veterans. Yes, their legs may be a little bit tired. I don't think they'd be able to get to certain spaces where we've obviously seen Eddie Tagseth go to. So there's that. Got that off my chest. The other thing I wanted to mention was the forwards. I think we've seen a lot of production out of Sam Surridge. There's been a lot of production out of Ahmed Kassem, a lot of production out of Alex Moyle, who has been pretty good. I'm trying to think. Jacob Schaffelberg, we've seen, you know, spurts of him on out on the field that he's produced. But I want to preface this a little bit about Ahmed Kassem. There were a few things, and I'm just nitpicking at this point. I don't want to sound negative. I feel like I've sounded negative this whole podcast episode, Claudio. If I have, correct me, but I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just giving my critiques. But Ahmed Kassem against Charlotte, there was one or two touches that he easily could have finished with his weak foot and or just put it on net. You know, for me, growing up playing the game and also just listening to coach seminars as well, a lot of these coaches, and BJ even mentioned this in the last press conference, he loves the flair. I asked him the question. He loves the flair of the players, and he loves the aspect of them showing their ideas on the field. It just brings another character to the whole system. But for me, sometimes, and I think as a young player, Kassem is, he's still learning that idea of it. You don't have to be flashy every single time the ball is at your feet.
I agree.
I think you got to get to the point of, you know, maybe I should just kick this ball on net and maybe it gets deflected and somebody else on my team can kick it into the back of the net. And I'm not saying he's being selfish. No, I'm just saying when that's encouraged in that atmosphere you're around all the time, it can be okay at that point. And I feel like he's kind of been absorbed into it a little bit and to the point where I'm not saying it's taking him away from being a team player. I'm just saying in general, like things can kind of get carried away and you don't realize it.
You know, that's one thing that I always, you know, growing up again, as well as you just playing soccer and coming from crazy soccer, Costa Rica, I've seen a lot of stuff and I ended up liking better. You know, there is one, and that's why they call the beautiful game. Football is a beautiful game because mm-hmm. of a lot of things that happen. But then there is a perhaps a huge gap in what you can call flashy and victory and just victory. I don't know which one you will take. I love the combination of the flashy and winning a game, scoring a beautiful goal. Beautiful. I love that. But mostly I love a guy that finishes.
Yeah.
A guy that finishes, I mean, even if it's the ugliest goal in the earth, I don't care. If that goal brings me victory, let's leave flashy for whenever, or maybe it doesn't even show up. I don't care. So sometimes I agree with you. I mean, I saw a couple of plays. I think one of them ones is guilty, something he hasn't done it lately, which is good, is Surridge. Surridge is one that he's learned how to score goals in a particular way. I think I asked him this question a year ago sometime. I don't know if you were there or not, but the way he likes to finish the goals, he's coming from one side. He likes to hit the ball and cross it all the way around in the area and put it on the other corner, mm-hmm. where sometimes he can actually put it right there in they're very closer to him, and that's a goal still.
Yes. You know,
he likes the other flashy thing, the other one that he likes better. And I don't know that if that's mature, because if you're going to talk about a guy like Kassem being young still, you say, well, he still needs to learn. But I guess Surridge is not as young, and he likes those things. It seems like a lot of the players, how do you call this? When you get that thing that you want to do it your own way, always. No matter if you're young, you're old, or you're, you know.
It's my way or the highway.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So yeah. I'm worried about stuff like that in players because it ends up, you know, playing against them.
Yeah, it gives a bad taste in your mouth, and they end up kind of repeating the same thing.
These clear opportunities because they want to be flashy instead of just being secure, safe, put it in the back of the net, let's celebrate, forget about it.
Yeah, and I think it comes and goes for sure. I think it's a feeling out process for sure because you mentioned Sam Surridge, and I'm glad you
brought it. Now, having said that, Nick, we already agree, even with the players and BJ and everybody else, that Nashville play the best first half of the season in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you what, because we're talking about him right now. Kasem was the best player in the field in the first half of that game.
He was.
So,
but there's one thing that he did in the first half that he continued to do the second half, and maybe not. I take it back. I think Charlotte picked up on his style. I think Charlotte, they picked up on the way he handles the ball. They picked up on his pads a little bit. They cut him off on some angles. And, credit to them because they got out on the front foot in the second half on that one. But, you know, you mentioned Sam Surridge in your last statement there, and you're right. I think it took Sam a full offseason to kind of get, you know, with it. Obviously, under a new system with BJ, it's a fresh start for everybody. But you make a great point. When he came to Nashville during the League's Cup run, I remember it was you and I, we were sitting in the press box, and you were on your computer, and I kept watching Sam Surridge, and he wasn't in the starting lineup. He was on the bench, and Sam Surridge kept going from the top left of the box, and he would always go left and then feint right, and he would curl it to the back post every single time.
Every single time.
That was his safe haven. That was his go-to move, right? And now this year, it's different. Sam, you're right. He's more versatile when he comes to being a true number nine. If it's a ball that's in the air, he's making a one-touch finish with either his head or his foot. He's doing everything in his power. And, like, that's the thing I was mentioning about Kasem. Like, Kasem, he has those flashes and stuff. It's great. He does a great job creating chances and so forth. But Sam Surridge, I think the maturity thing has clicked for him to the point where, you know what, maybe if I just take this one touch, I will have another player crash the net where I can actually have them score instead of me. He gets the whole aspect of that. And I think Kasem does too. It's just going to come with time for him when it comes to his feet.
I love when the player comes to his senses on that and kind of says, I mean, this is going to be a sound stream, Nick, but hey, if I need to score with my belly, so be it. It's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a goal.
I agree.
It's the less flashy of all, but it's there. It's inside the net. We might just win the game, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, care. Josh Bauer did the same thing that one time when it went off the back of Walker's head on that corner, and Bauer came flying into the box and ended up scoring. Like, it's an all-fourth effort. Like, everybody needs to crash the goals. And now that we're talking about that, that just reminded me of the last thing that we'll bring up on the podcast, and then we'll get to our picks for the upcoming game. I am another thing that concerns me about Nashville are set pieces. Nashville, obviously, there was a goal called back in the Charlotte game when it came to free kicks. But Nashville has conceded some goals from, you know, set pieces. And I think Nashville, you know, having those issues with set pieces, especially in the game, last home game when there was the free kick. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, what a world-class free kick. But at the same time, it didn't look like the wall was fully set for Nashville. Joe Willis obviously was pretty perturbed about it after the ball was in the back of the net. It seemed like things were just not settled. And I don't know if that's a thing that Nashville's been working on during the week at practice and training, or if it's something they have to go to the film and watch. I mean, I don't know. I'm
sure both, but Nick, because that was very evident that that cost. I'm not gonna go and say that half of the goal, but because the goal was actually beautiful, but the wall cooperated very much for that goal to be scored, and that's a no-no on a professional team, especially a team that pretends to be one of the best in terms of defending that type of play. You know, why would you put up a wall in there if it's gonna move when the player's gonna take the kick? Let's not put anything. You know, if you're gonna do that, I'm sure BJ was very mad when he saw that video, for sure. Now I have good news for you, though.
Oh,
this is good news.
Let's hear.
When you look at talking about the problem, but that these guys represent in the middle and in the front of the field with Real Salt Lake against Nashville, but the reality is that Real Salt Lake is -4 in terms of points.
Really?
They're -4. So they scored 7, but they got 11 against. So that means that there's an opportunity there.
So it
should be an opportunity.
What you're telling me is there's going to be a lot of goals this Saturday.
It should be. It could be a game like that. Whereas Nashville is plus three in terms of a goal differential. So 10 goals again in favor, but seven against, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Five games already, right? That's a lot.
So, yeah, that is,
but
that is
if
a lot.
Seven is a lot, 11 is even worse. That's the case of Real Salt Lake, which means that unless Mastroianni has done something this week very important, there is big opportunity for Nashville to strike, especially if they strike early. We'll see.
Yeah, you're right. I think if Nashville does strike early, we'll see guys like Gaston Brugman come in, sub in early. I think we're going to see some subs for Nashville, in my opinion. If Nashville gets up early, like 1-0 or 2-0, or if they just have a strong lead, 1-0 lead, I think we might see some subs early in this game against Real Salt Lake. But if that is the case, I just think Nashville needs a little extra rest after that Charlotte game. The last 2 weeks have been pretty tough. I think Nashville really wanted to start out strong this season. I mean, every team does, but just the way BJ started out the season, literally almost going a full 90 minutes every other game and not subbing out players, it just, to me, now realizing this, and I should have realized it earlier, BJ wanted, and I think all of Nashville SC wanted this team to get off to a very, very hot start, to be known as the team to not be reckoned with when it comes to, you know, a tough place to play and a really good football club. I think this team is, you know, destined for a playoff spot, and I think that's, they wanted to make that statement early. But they're still a good team. Don't get me wrong, they're still a good team. It's just they have a few losses on their schedule now. So when it comes to things like this, I think this is a game where Nashville has to take care of business and they have to do it early.
I agree. You know, I'm going to leave something here because I know we could talk soccer 3 or 4 hours.
Sure. We still got to get into our picks.
Yeah, we're still there. But there's one thing that we haven't touched at all, and not because it's in the format of tonight's show, but do you realize there is a player that we haven't mentioned at all, not even once,
This
podcast?
I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm looking at his bobblehead right now.
And, you know, that caught my attention because it used to be that was the only thing we talk about everywhere. And that really calls my attention. All of a sudden, I said, wait a second. I mean, are we just not talking about Hany Mukhtar because there's nothing to say, or because we don't have the same number 10 anymore in this city?
I think his position has changed on this team. He's still a number 10, but he's a different styled number 10, in my opinion. I think this system that BJ has him in, and I mentioned before on other podcasts, previous episodes, is that he has him playing in a more free-roaming role that allows him to create space for other people. And when you do that, you can still be a key player. And it's just Hany Mukhtar is not capitalizing on the goal opportunities. And you'll agree to this. When it comes to Hany Mukhtar and other guys are getting goals, like when Josh Bauer got a goal, we saw Hany, I don't want to say going out of his way, but he was definitely going the extra effort to trying to score a goal to be a part of the scoring fest, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I agree. And I don't know. I kind of, when that happens, especially when a game is not locked yet and if it's not close to a victory, it worries me.
Yeah.
It worries me because when Hany starts doing stuff like that, he kind of deflates good opportunities trying to look for his goal.
And don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's a great player, but I think, too, it's primarily the fact that when other guys are scoring, and I don't know if I'm not a professional soccer player by any means. I mean, I'm not getting paid millions of dollars every season. But I wonder if the money thing ever.
You make good money, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's making great money.
No, you're making money. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, if I was a professional player, I'm up there with the greats, man. You give me a few million and I'll be fine. I'll open up a small pizzeria somewhere. But no, to the point of Hani though, like I wonder if the financial thing kind of comes into play a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, before he takes this free kick, he's thinking about the $8 million that he's owed in so many years. Like, no, he's not thinking that way. But you gotta maybe think, because you're getting paid so much money, you have to produce at a certain level. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he thinks he's underproducing to some regard. I don't know this. I'm just saying this from performances on the field. I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say that, but does it come off that way a little bit?
Well, depends. It depends how you see it. If you're expecting, like I'm not expecting to see the same goal, prolific goal scorer that we used to see, then yes, he's underperforming. But see, I mean, I'm the one, maybe the only one in the city who's never thought of a Hani Mukhtar to be a goal scorer, a striker. He's done it before. A couple seasons was the best striker we had. But I thought him more always as what he does today. That's the kind of player I thought he could be. Because he's smart with the ball, he can do it. Sometimes he just loses it, like we already said, trying to find that goal in many ways that are not there. Mm-hmm. But when he's actually concentrated in being a team player, in the collective effort, he is one of the best. And that's why, I don't know, having said that, I'm going to say this. It seems to me that when Hani decides to be a team player during a game, we see the best of him.
I agree.
When he decides that he's looking for his goal no matter what, then we don't see the best of Hani that this team can have.
It puts the team in a struggling position to win.
It does. It does. Most times.
Well, with that being said, I wonder if we'll get a productive Hani Mukhtar this weekend. That leads me into the picks. Claudio, where are you headed with this game?
Well, I mean, I don't mind if the Hani scores at least one this weekend. If that make me happy, it probably make everybody happy, and mainly he makes himself happy. But I could see, because of what's going on and looking at the record and all of that, Nashville, if they play the game that they're supposed to play at home and close to what they've been doing, I think Real Salt Lake is in for a 3 goals against zero defeat.
Wow. 3-0. Oh, that's a big margin there, Claudio.
Well, see, you know, remember how Joe Willis called me the other day and told me to fix my predictions?
Uh-huh.
Because I keep putting a goal against him. He said, well, I guess you're going to have to fix your prediction then.
Really?
He said that. Did you hear that? I had to show you the clip. Yep.
Yeah, say, send that to me. That's hilarious, man.
He did. He said, I guess you're going to have to fix your prediction next time.
Good to know. Well, then that leaves me in a tight position here. You're making me feel bad. I was going to give a 2-1 victory, but I'm going to go one goal less. I'll go 2-0. I think Nashville gets the job done. I've kind of predicted a 2-0 win the last couple of episodes. I just feel like that's the safe way to look at things. I think Sam Surge gets on the goal sheet along with, give me somebody off the beaten path. That's just, if Patrick Yazbek plays, I'll go with Yazbek.
I got one for you that you probably like to.
Okay.
I think we're going to see Eddie Taxis score his first goal in the MLS.
Steady Eddie. Let's see it, baby.
He deserves it. He deserves it.
That's he does. Sure. I will say, if there's anybody on this team that's worked week in and week out that deserves a goal, it's Eddie Taxeth.
Yes, he does.
Indeed with that. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode of the Talking Calcio podcast. If you want to answer or question, if you have anything that you want to ask us, by all means, you can reach us over at the Twitter. That little thing that we use for social media, just reach out to us that way. On Twitter for me, it's Nick Frazier 23. For Claudio, it's at Nashville Total Sport. You could just reach out to us. If you have a question, something you disagree or agree with, let us know. And yeah, Claudio, you have anything to say to the fellas?
Well, I'm going to just have to, like I always said, come to the stadium. There's nothing better than watching soccer live. I'm not doing this because the team has told me to do it. I just always thought that's the way. When I wasn't doing this, I was over in the stadium paying my ticket and everything, and I enjoyed it just as much. So just come to the stadium, enjoy the beautiful game, and hopefully enjoy the victory here with us. And enjoy this week.
Indeed, indeed. All right, we'll see you on the next episode. Ci vediamo. Peace.